listening to Off the Clock, Arts and Culture on KBIA. I'm Jen Cooper. This week, KBIA's Jason Hoffman sat down with local author George Hodgman. His memoir, Bettyville, discusses some of the issues faced caring for an elderly parent, as well as those of being gay in small-town America. Here's the interview.
George Hodgman is a magazine and book editor who has worked at various publishing houses and publications, including Vanity Fair. He recently wrote his first book, Bettyville. It's a memoir about moving from New York City back home to Paris, Missouri, a small town 55 miles north of Columbia, to care for his aging mother, Betty. It discusses the trials and tribulations of caring for an aging parent, as well as those of small-town America. George Hodgman joins me now. George, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
When you first moved back home, you had assumed it would be for a brief period of time, relatively short visit, and obviously it has wound up being much longer than that. What for you has been the biggest struggle of moving back to small town Missouri from New York City?
I think that, you know, I miss New York less than I thought I would. Just the city itself and things like restaurants and foreign films and that sort of thing. I guess I sort of would like to have a few more peers, people my own age to socialize with. I don't have as much social life as I'd kind of like to have. For one thing, my mother is hard to leave. And another thing, most of the people I know are married or live on farms or whatever. Most of the small towns around here are mainly old people who've moved in off the farm or something like that. And so it would be nice to have a little bit more of a group of people who are social friends, maybe.
And you, as a gay man, you know, New York City has a lot more gay people and much more of a gay culture than the middle of Missouri. What's that adjustment been like?
I think that it would be a lot harder if I were younger, if I really wanted to be on the scene. I wanted to go out and go to clubs and go dancing and stuff like that. I'm kind of beyond that. I do miss, you know, I was kind of worried in the past. I think that I have not always felt that comfortable to be myself. I think it was just subconscious in a lot of ways that I put up certain guards and there were certain inhibitions. And I think there were things that I was kind of operating on that had been instilled in my childhood about being gay and exactly how I could be in this environment. But I've been pretty pleasantly surprised. I think people are, you know, a lot more tolerant than one might expect if you read about right-wing this and right-wing that on the internet. People have been really good to me. They've been incredibly supportive about this book, which has a lot of gay content and probably pushed some people a little past their comfort zone. You know, I miss my friends, whether they're gay or straight. I miss my friends, and that's the biggest thing. It's not that I don't have friends here, but I do miss the ones that I had there. And I also miss being a part of the business of publishing and sort of gossiping with people about what's going on and that kind of thing.
Going off something you said in that last answer in terms of tolerance and people being accepting, you mentioned throughout the book you didn't talk about it, whether it be with your parents or anyone else, and then your first real experience with gay culture came when you came to the University of Missouri. What was it like growing up in small-town Missouri gay?
Well, I think for any of you know, I grew up in the 70s and late 60s, and I think that for anyone in this culture who was gay, I mean, I think that the first thing you heard connected with the notion of homosexuality was sin against God. I think your identity was very, very much affected by the notion that this was considered a sin. And it was also considered, you know, a major thing to be secretive about. And it was an undiscussed, it was taboo. When I grew up, there were no gay people on television. There were, you know, I remember the first gay novel that I, you know, I sent away to New York City for. When I was a little kid, I sent away for copies of The Advocate. There was just no sense of where you could go or what you could do that would connect you to a gay community, and no sense for a kid of how to do it, how to be gay. Gay life is its own culture. It's not completely different from straight culture, but it definitely has some idiosyncratic features. And I think all of us, I mean, if you're straight, you have high school and junior high, and you have organized activities that help you learn to kind of relate to the opposite sex, and you go to dances, and you do this, and until you learn how to have a social, emotional life. And if you're gay, you just don't have that training. You just, you know, you're 22 and out of college, and suddenly you just have less social experience. And I had none as a kid here.
Travel is one of the big themes throughout the book, and one of the most interesting mentions of it, I thought, was towards the end of the book, you mentioned your mother and how she might not have traveled geographically, but because she had spent 9 decades in a changing world, that's sort of her travel over time. And you've seen Paris, Missouri, when you were growing up, and you see it now. Small towns across mid-Missouri in America are certainly changing in that travel through time. What's the biggest change you've seen in small-town America from when you were growing up to where it is now?
The loss of the merchant class, certainly. All over America, you go to small towns, and downtown is a place where there's, you know, a convenience store and a video store, maybe, and places where once vital little shops are now maybe an antique store or vacant or are just kind of filling space. And when you lose the merchant class, you lose those people who were supporting civic organizations and churches. And in the small towns I grew up in, I mean, I grew up with parents and their peers, people who had, you know, been through World War II and that American era when people came back home and they built a little house and they really cared for their communities, and they were thriving here. Moberly, Missouri, Mexico, Missouri, these were beautiful places. Moberly had a DuPont plant. People moved here from Pennsylvania. There was, in the last 10 years, they tore down the country club, which my mother loved, where she used to play bridge. There were really nice stores. I remember a place, there was a silver shop in Moberly where you could go and buy fine silver. And there's just a whole, there's a lot that has been lost. And I think that it makes people around here uncomfortable when they read about that in the book, but they don't deny it.
And another thing, and I don't know if it's lost or just wasn't there to begin with, but a lot of your mother's appointments are an hour or more than an hour away from Paris. What's it like caring for your mother or caring for any elderly person in a town that might not have the means or facilities to help them?
There is there's a doctor here. There's a good doctor in Paris, but the way medicine has changed, we all really exist with specialists, because particularly if you're an older person. I think that I mean, Colombia has grown to the size it has, partially because it has medical services that attract people from all over the region. And we're glad that those great doctors are there. But for an old person and for a lot of people, it's a long trip, particularly if you have to go every day and get radiation or chemo. It definitely adds to an older person's challenge in terms of getting medical care. I mean, if my mother goes to the foot doctor in Colombia, it's a long day for her. It's 100 miles. Mm-hmm.
And have you thought at all about what's next in terms of your life, whether it's staying or going? It seems towards the end of the book, you really have grown more attached to Paris than I think you thought you would when you first moved back. Do you know whether you're going to stay or move back to New York? What's next?
I am lucky because I'm young enough. I mean, a lot of people who I notice who are caring for older people are spouses. And I really worry about one old person caring for another old person, because when you lose the person that you're caring for, it's such a hole in your existence. And you feel like you just are running off a cliff into empty space. I'm lucky I'm young enough that I can recreate, and I am grateful for that. I might wind up in Columbia. I might wind up in St. Louis. I'd certainly like to keep this house as a kind of a country house. I'd like to, it's a really good place to write, Paris, Missouri. I never would have written if I'd stayed in New York. I was doing freelance by the time I left. I didn't have a full-time job. And it's really hard to work and live in a studio apartment. Now everybody's leaving New York because it's so expensive. So I think I probably will stay around here, and I hope use it as a home base to travel a whole lot. I haven't traveled as much as I'd like to, and I want to see the world, and I want to write.
Well, George, thanks for joining us. All the best to you, and all the best to your mom as well.
Thank you so much.
Bettyville, a memoir by George Hodgman, is on bookshelves now. For KBIA, I'm Jason Hoffman.
That's Off the Clock this week. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend.